This episode of Ticket Ripper is brought to you by Claircognizance, because I see the future. And if you don't believe me, that's completely fine. It's okay. But I just want you to know that I knew that you wouldn't. What's the deal with iced tea being so delicious? Like, I don't get, like, I like tea in general is just baller, you know, like baller status drink, sweet, you know, not kind of like natural tasting, love it. But the only thing that I hate about tea is that it's too dang hot. All right. And I'm not trying to burn my tongue just to get a little bit of sweetness in my life. Okay. And that's why iced tea is the GOAT, the goat, as the children say, because you take that tea, you concentrate it a little bit more, put some sugar, put some ice in that baby, slosh it around, chill it down. And you're speaking my language, baby. I'm going to declare it right now. Brisk iced tea is the official drink of the Ticket Ripper podcast. We're not sponsored, but hopefully one day Brisk will sponsor me. I'm not drinking Brisk right now. However, I'm drinking some concoction my wife made for me. So bada bing. But anyways, welcome back to the Ticket Ripper podcast. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper podcast. We be ripping, we be dripping, and all the other good stuff. I told you I wasn't going to work on it. And so that's what it is. We be ripping, we be dripping, and yes. my name, as always, is Benjamin Abraham Arevalo, the Mexi Jew, coming at you not entirely live. I am alive, but this podcast is not entirely live from some different dimension that I got here through a wooden portal, otherwise known as doors. Let's get into it, because I'm not gonna tell you about my life, because there's nothing really exciting. What's exciting? I got beat by Richter in Smash Bros. This morning. He was a really, really easy opponent, but for some reason I was just off my game. Don't come at me. But he was really good. So let's get into it. You know what time it is, and I still don't have a song for it, but hopefully soon I'll have the work ethic to make one. Trailers of the week. And imagine the song goes in right here, and it's like really short. I don't want it too long. If you want to make one and send it to me, do that. But anyways, trailers of the week. Right off the bat, obviously, I'm not going to talk about all of these trailers, because there's a bunch of them. Most of them are foreign, because foreign people release movies all the time. But we're going to talk about the more, I don't want to be rude, but interesting ones. Today, I'm going to be talking about, first one off the bat, Morbius. And the reason I want to talk about Morbius is because of the fact that if you've listened to this podcast ever since every single episode, I mentioned a part where I mentioned my thoughts on what Batman should be. And I said that I wanted Batman to be legitimately like a guy who's like haunted by the fact that he hunts crime and stuff like that, but at the same time he needs to drink blood because he's a Batman, you know. He was bitten by a bat, and then he fights crime, and then also he turns into like a gigantic bat. So I'm claircognizant, because I've never ever in my life heard of the character Morbius, but apparently he's a Marvel character who is exactly that. And this trailer literally made my jaw drop, because I predicted the future. Okay, guys, you're welcome. We're finally going to get a real Batman, a Batman in the sense that, you know, he actually turns into a bat. So Morbius, if you haven't seen it, is starring Jared Leto, because Jared Leto's standards for what kind of movies he needs to be in has dropped drastically since Dallas Cowboys Play Club. What was it called? Dallas Buyers Club? Dallas Buyers Club. I don't know why I'd said Dallas Cowboys Play Club. The Dallas Buyers Club, you know, he won an Oscar for that movie. And now he's been in, I mean, he did that Blade Runner movie, which was the most boring movie I've ever seen, other than The Favorite, two of the most boring movies ever. But and then immediately after that, he did The Joker. And then it just all went, well, I don't know. I think he did The Joker before in Suicide Squad. I don't know. All I know is that he's dropped, you know, the guy's losing it. And so Morbius is him just saying, you know what? I don't care about my career anymore. I have 30 seconds to Mars. So what do I care? So he joined Sony, their continuing of like, it's basically a continuation of basically Sony trying to build their little, God, why can't I speak? Sony is trying to build their like little MCU, but here's the thing about it. If you would recall, Sony is attached to the MCU because when I say that Sony's trying to start their MCU thing, I mean Spider-Man. They keep bringing up Spider-Man. And so, in this trailer, you know, by the way, looks good. Looks great. It actually looks really awesome. The trailer music was epic. It didn't have lyrics, which is really great. You know, I love that. And then when it came down to like the actual like character, I wasn't upset about it. I hope that, you know, him being a bat person doesn't end up being like kind of cheesy and kind of weird. I hope that they went the right way with that. But one of the things that I'm kind of like, what's happening here, is how is Sony trying to mesh this in with their Venom thing? Because you know that they are. But then at the end of the trailer, they did something very, very strange. They pulled out Michael Keaton. Now, if you will remember, Michael Keaton, if we're saying that this movie exists in the same universe as Spider-Man, then Michael Keaton presumably is the Vulture in this movie. He's playing his role that he played in Homecoming. If not, that would make a lot not sense. But at the same time, it might. Because we know that Sony's wanted to like make it to where this was like somewhat a part of it. But we don't know. But that's what I'm thinking that they just did. And if they did just do that, then what does that mean for the future of Spidey? We know that he's supposed to get another movie. And he's supposed to be in a couple more like co-movies with other heroes. But what's gonna happen here? Because his villain is already fighting other people in other movies now. His villain is fighting other people in different studios now. So Morbius looks good. Don't know what Sony's trying to do, but they're definitely pulling some strings, and they're definitely like picking at some stuff. So the next trailer that I want to talk about is for Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of, I think it's called One Harley Quinn, or did they say the Fantabulous? And Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Yeah. Here's what I got to say about this movie. The first couple trailers that they released, horrible. I wasn't excited at all for this movie. I had no intention of going to see it. You know, the last one that they released was like kind of like, oh, you know, maybe. But then they just released recently, their most recent one that they released is a good trailer. I really like it. I like that, you know, they kind of cleared up some of the things of me like, what's happening here? Like, what's the vibe of this movie? Because sometimes Harley Quinn can be a bit much. And for those other trailers, she was a bit much, like there was too much of it, you know, but here Harley's like not, I don't want to say she's toned down, but there's a lot more of like, you know, Harley not always being like peak Harley, you know, which I like. I don't like characters like if there's a character like what's his name? I don't know. If there's a character who's like always angry, if he's always angry, it just kind of gets boring and it kind of gets annoying. And it's like, okay, just because you're always angry, that's part of the character, doesn't mean you literally have to be always angry. Like, oh, it's my birthday. Ah, you know, like that's not going to make sense. It doesn't play off well. And I felt like Harley had like some of those, like the ability to be some like kind of monotone, which I felt like she kind of was in Suicide Squad. And I just like that, you know, there's a little bit more. I don't know what I'm saying. There's a little bit more. I feel I get a vibe from this movie, and I think I'm going to like it. I actually might go see it in theaters, which is a really, really, really good thing for me to say, especially since I hate DC. But here's one thing I will say. I just recently watched Shazam because it's on HBO now and I'm a cheapo. I just recently watched Shazam and I really liked it. If I had to give a Shazam a Ticket Ripper rating, here we go. Shazam Ticket Ripper rating on a scale of, I haven't done one of these in a really long time. Shazam Ticket Ripper rating on a scale of one, on a scale from to dope as hell. And if for, you know, for those of you who don't know, it goes it goes to, which is 1 star, which is 2 star. It goes 3 is good, you know, because it's just like right in the middle. 4 is sick. And then 5 stars, which is the best, the highest Ripper rating you can receive, is D-O-P-E as hell. And that is not spelled D-I-O-P-E. It's spelled dope as hell, because that movie is dope as hell. But very few have received that yet. Logan is dope as hell. there's one. But Ticket Ripper rating over Shazam. And I'm not even gonna lie to you guys. This surprised me too. I genuinely liked this movie. I'm gonna give it somewhere in between good and sick. So we're gonna call it Gick. So 3.5, because it's not sick. It wasn't like, you know, really good. But I mean, I was not upset about it at all. The ending, they had like a little cameo. It was like a cameo, not cameo, of Superman. I genuinely enjoyed that. And I found it really funny. The movie was really funny. I like how they kind of played on that whole, oh, I'm a 14-year-old kid in a 40-year-old man's body. I really enjoyed it. There's some cheesy parts of the movie, but when it comes down to like things we've seen in the past because that's the thing about it. It's cheesy, but I feel like it knows it's cheesy, and it's like not trying not to be cheesy. But the reason that makes DC movies sometimes so incredibly cheesy is because they're trying to be serious. And that's what makes it so bad, is when they do stuff like that and you're like, oh, come on. It just doesn't pan out. That's what makes it so like bad, is when it it's like a failure, like that whatever they tried to do just failed, like burned. So yeah, I'm really excited about Birds of Prey. I really like Shazam. Gick, sorry, I almost said another word. I didn't mean to say that. It was just my brain was trying to put dope as hell and sick together, but then, you know, the D, and then it didn't pan out. So Gick, it still sounds like I'm saying it. Let's call it Sud. Yeah. The movie was Sud. So 3.5 out of stars for you normies. Shazam was Sud. If you have HBO, lucky you. You're rich. I am Mooch. But go watch it. It was pretty sick. No, it wasn't sick. It was good. It was Sud. So this is getting out of control. The next trailer I want to talk about is Lock and Key. It's another Netflix series, because Netflix continuously has to spend $20,000 billion every single year in order to, you know, stay alive. Sometimes, you know, I'm afraid that Netflix is going to be like, hey, we spent too much money. Now you have to pay us more. And I'm like, hey, bro, how about you just get rid of Friends? Which I think they already did. But like, hey, bro, who's trying to watch Goodfellas, which is really funny because I am actually trying to watch Goodfellas, but I own it, so I mean, it's not a problem. But like, you know, there's like some dumb movies on there. Like, you have so many B movies on Netflix. Why don't you? Here's a thought. Why don't you get rid of them? Why don't you take down Scary Movie 1 through 7 and put up
another one of your Netflix original series, and that way you can save some money. Okay? How about you take down like freaking 18-year-old cartoons that weren't even popular? All right, buddy? How about you not remake Rocko's Modern Life?
Oh my god. So Lock and Key is a Netflix original. And when the trailer starts, it's starting the kid who played Georgie and It Chapter One, and I guess Chapter Two a little bit, but he's in it. And it starts off and you're kind of like, oh, this is sort of like, you know, magical, like kid in a house movie. And he goes on like an adventure, kind of like Narnia, and then immediately turns pretty quickly into like, oh, this is another version of Stranger Things. Like if Stranger Things was made in a different, like alternate reality and written by somebody who was obsessed with doors, it's like Monsters, Inc. and Stranger Things. That's how I can describe it. It's like Monsters, Inc. and Stranger Things. And there's blood in it. And there's people who die, I think. I'm pretty sure. But it looks baller. The trailer was hardcore. The trailer was heavy. And I'm all for it. I honestly think that that might be something I binge. Which, by the way, speaking of binging, speaking of Netflix in general, I binged. I started watching because I didn't think I was going to like it. Because I'm not into like... there's a lot of fantasy things that I'm not into. I love Lord of the Rings, but what really ruined it for me was Game of Thrones. I watched Game of Thrones, and it wasn't what I needed. You know, I needed more in my life, and it sorely disappointed me because I watched me and my wife for 3 weeks watched nothing but Game of Thrones, and it disappointed me. And so for that reason, I pushed off trying to watch The Witcher. Because I was afraid that it was just going to be the same thing. The trailers weren't really great. They didn't, you know, show me anything that I wanted to kind of like see. However, episode one, I decided to watch the other day. Episode one, and keep in mind, I had to work at 10 in the morning. So I had to be awake at 9 in the morning. So episode one of The Witcher was one of the most baller episodes of any show I have ever seen in my entire life. I told this to my coworkers. I think personally that season one of Game of Thrones doesn't even hold like a tiny itty bitty match candle to episode one of Witcher. Episode one of The Witcher literally like with just one episode, they knocked Game of Thrones' entire first season out of the water. And with one season, and if you're wondering, hey, how did you have time to watch one season if you just started a couple days ago? Well, I stayed up until 5:30 in the morning to watch the entire season. I binged an entire season when I had work 3 or so many hours later. That's how good the show was. I maybe made it through like one, maybe two episodes of Game of Thrones a night because it got so boring and there was just so much that didn't happen. But with The Witcher, it was nonstop banging. And it was rocking. That show killed, man. That show crushed me. I love that show, and I honestly hate the fact that Netflix released it like not one episode at a time, because I binged it all in one night and now I have to wait for the next season. That I would like that alone I would be paying Netflix for. I would, if I don't watch Netflix for anything else, I'd be paying it for that, and for the fact that my wife only ever re-watches Gossip Girl over and over again, which is really funny because my wife like genuinely like not hates, but like she genuinely like dislikes like privileged, you know, white people. And I'm like, babe, you literally watch them for entertainment like all the time, which I don't understand. She says it's just background noise, but then sometimes I come home and she's just watching it. So what's up with that, girl? What was I even talking about? Oh, yeah, The Witcher. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. If you're a kid, if you don't have permission to watch rated R movies, don't watch this. These are warnings. If you have if you do not enjoy, or I mean, I don't enjoy it either, but I mean, like, if you are against seeing boobies on the television, don't watch this. It's booby forward. They took Free the Nip to a whole new level. It's not as satanic as, say, like Penny Dreadful is, but there is a lot of witchiness. There is a lot of destiny talk, which that's the only thing I didn't like, is everybody was talking about destiny, which actually ends up being like a really, really key part of the entire show, which I guess is cool because I like the show and I'm not going to complain. But yeah, if you don't like boobies and butt cheeks, don't watch this, because there is, I cannot tell you how in one night, I saw so many boobies and so many butt cheeks, you'd swear that I was like watching, like if I had to put it in equivalent, like the entire season of The Witcher in terms of boobies and butt cheeks was maybe like two seasons of, no, that's a lie. There weren't that many boobies and butt cheeks. Game of Thrones definitely had more boobies and butt cheeks. If you watched Game of Thrones, it's okay. You can watch The Witcher. There's not that many boobies and butt cheeks, but there are some boobies and some butt cheeks. I didn't think that there were any penises, which is good because penises are weird and gross and nobody wants to see those, which is why men are so insecure and have to buy gigantic trucks, is because they know that their wang doodle doesn't look cool. I talked way too much about people's private parts, and that's okay. This is my podcast. I do what I'm going to do, bro. And if I want to watch The Witcher and talk about boobies and butt cheeks on it because there were so many boobies and butt cheeks in that show, yes, I'm gonna. But at the same time, where does Hollywood find so many women willing to show their boobies and butt cheeks for television? Where does Netflix find these people? Because they're like, it's not even that they're like bad actresses. I guess, you know, there are a bunch of really, really good actors. Who knows? I'm not judging. I'm just saying, dude, like that seems to be a little bit of a personal thing. But I mean, hey, all power to you, I guess. It's your life, not mine. But warning, if you want to watch The Witcher, be warned. Be very warned. Yeah, I loved that show. Cleared it. Now I'm depressed because I have to wait for the next season, which probably isn't even filming yet because Henry Cavill's too buff. They're like, oh man, he's got to tone down a little bit. So we're going to let him cool down because he's ripped. And especially in this show, he's so handsome. So, and all he does, he doesn't say anything. All he does the entire show, well, I mean, he does say quite a bit, but he's so stoic. And then every once in a while, somebody says something and he just goes, and it's so wild. And you just know he's like, you're like, oh, he's not happy about that. Cause all from just him going, and that's it. I loved it. Loved it. Speaking of satanic things, Penny Dreadful, there was a trailer for it. I don't know how I feel about it. It's like, I really liked Penny Dreadful, the first show. Like I said, it was extremely demonic. So I mean, I liked it, but it was really, really demonic. Now they're doing one like in a different time, and it's called City of Angels, Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. I have no idea what the show's going to be about. Am I going to watch it? Probably not, because it's on Showtime. And ain't no way, baby. Ain't no way I'm getting Showtime, baby. All right, unless Hulu decides to do one of those like bundle thingamajiggies, but ain't gonna happen. So now we're gonna talk about the movies or movie that I want to talk about today because it's important. I wanted to watch it a while back when it released, and thank God that it was still in theaters, but I didn't get to watch it then. We are talking about none other than Knives Out, and we at the same time are going to be talking a little bit about Star Wars, because made by the same director, and I have some things to say about Rian Johnson, even though his name is probably, oh no, it's not pronounced or not spelled Rain. Who spells Rian that way? I don't know. This guy. Okay, well, anyways, yeah, I got to see Knives Out because I told you guys about my cat's debacle, and I told you guys that I got my refund, and well, with that refund, I went to go see Knives Out and Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems obviously was great. Let me take a sip of my tea and I'll be right. Yowzer, that was delicious. But Uncut Gems obviously was great. I'm going to talk about that, you know, not a ton, but later in another podcast. But you know, I'm not trying to rip it. But Knives Out was fantastic. I loved this movie. I loved everything about it. I loved how it was written. I loved how it was like, you know, directed. I think he did an incredible job on this movie, Rian Johnson. But at the same time, I'm very confused now because I hated for a very long time. Well, actually, since episode eight of Star Wars, The Last Jedi, I hated him with all my heart because he ruined a perfectly good opportunity for a great Star Wars movie. And yet now I'm watching a movie of his, or I watched a movie of his that I really, really thoroughly enjoyed. Everybody did an incredible job as far as acting. He knew which characters to, like, you know, give a gigantic spotlight to and which characters to kind of like tone down. He knew how to use like even modern times to give us sort of like, you know, a villain vibe from certain people. And then when it came down to like the murder mystery of it, it literally felt like you were watching a Clue movie. And I think that that's what he wanted. And he did an incredible job at it. Daniel Craig had this Southern accent the whole time. His name was Benoit Blanc, or something like that. I don't know. Benoit Blanc. He did an incredible job. He was like, there's a donut. I can't do it's like molasses coming out your mouth. He was doing that, you know, kind of like The Office, like Murder in Savannah. He was doing that whole thing. And I loved it. I loved it. This movie was like packed with great actors. Jamie Lee Curtis, I think is her name. I don't know how I knew that. I guess you just know Jamie Lee Curtis now after so many years. Jamie Lee Curtis, Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Michael Shannon, you guys, and y'all know that I love Michael Shannon. Michael Shannon's my boy. Michael Shannon's my boy. Episode 4, I think, I actually said that I wanted Michael Shannon, that I thought that Michael Shannon was my father. I thought legitimately for a minute, I saw him on there, that Michael Shannon was my father, dude. Toni Collette, incredible actress. She did great in this movie, as always. I mean, she puts 100% into everything she does. And if anybody's going to recognize her, they should now, because we're running out of time. We're running out of opportunities to acknowledge how incredible of an actress Toni Collette is, okay? Lakeith Stanfield, I don't know how to say his name. Christopher Plummer, obviously a great actress or actor. Catherine Langford, she was good in 13 Reasons Why. She's pretty good in this one. Jaden Martell, he did, you know, the It movies. He was good. But in this one, he plays a little racist douchebag, which is cool. Ricky Lindholm, I don't even know. Oh, yeah, she would. I mean, yeah. But I mean, dude. And then last but not least, and I saved her for last because of the fact that she was one of my favorite characters in the movie. And also just because she is like, she's way like you'd imagine from like the trailers or anything like that. You wouldn't imagine that she's as big of a part of this story as she actually is. And one of the reasons that she's so important to this story is because this movie, weirdly, and I didn't expect this at all, this movie weirdly takes a very, very strong like political stance without like actually saying anything. It's like kind of like an undercover political stance, and it's actually kind of beautiful, and I commend Rian Johnson for writing something like that. You know, it's pretty incredible. And she was played by one of my favorite actresses right now, not just because she's drop dead gorgeous, but because she's awesome, and I feel like she does, you know, a really great job at the stuff she does. And she actually just got a movie with Netflix called Sergio, which is going to be cool too, and she's pretty big in that one. But Ana de Armas, she's, you know, I mean come on, if you look at Ana de Armas and you're like, nah, you know, you're a lunatic, that's just it. And if you see her in this movie and you're like, and you think that she didn't did a great job, you're a lunatic, you're a moron, because she did an incredible job. So if you don't know what this movie's about already, let me give you the synopsis or the summary that IMDb gives me. And by the way, it's super short, so whoever's writing these things needs to put a little bit more work. A detective investigates the death of a patriarch. A detective investigates the death of a patriarch of an eccentric, combative family. And that pretty much sums it up. So essentially, there's this family who they're rich because the dad writes like mystery novels, and they're, you know, the entire family is rich. They're all most of them are self-made, but they, you know, still get support. Like some of them get support from the grandpa, and essentially what ends up happening is like they're all like jerks and they're all like crazy people. Some of them start off and then you think they're like super nice, all this kind of stuff. And they all like kind of play these like roles even within their family of like, you know, oh, you know, no, I'm not a terrible person. You know, I'm a nice person, all this kind of stuff. But it quickly turns because what ends up happening is somebody ends up murdering the father. The father, who's played by Christopher Plummer, and somebody ends up murdering him. He's found dead with his throat slit open. And so, you know, they go on, you know, the cops, you know, have already interviewed everybody, but they want to interview the family again. But this time they interview them with a new PI who's played by Daniel Craig, Benoit Blanc. And he was hired mysteriously by somebody to investigate because they already ruled that he wasn't murdered, that the father wasn't murdered, that it was a suicide. But somebody hired him to investigate it as a murder. So it all goes downhill from here. The movie's funny. I really like the story. What ends up happening, and I'll tell you, because if you think that there's spoilers on this show, you're out of your mind. Yeah, the movie's still in theaters. Yeah, it might still be playing, but it came out the 27th of November last year. So I'm going to talk about it, and I'm finna spoil it. So here we go. We find out pretty early on in the movie, actually, that what ended up happening was Ana de Armas, her character, Marta, she plays the nurse of Christopher Plummer. But she's not just a nurse. She's like a friend to him. So she spends a lot of time around him. And then the night of his birthday, which is the night that he dies, they're, you know, playing a game or anything like that. And he's being, you know, goofy and whatnot. And she needs to give him his medicine. So she has two medicines that she gives him. One is like, you know, to like, you know, help him. And then the other one is to take pain away, which is morphine. Now, obviously, if you give somebody too many morphine, because I learned this from Saving Private Ryan, if you give somebody too many morphine, they die. And apparently what ended up happening was she was, you know, doing the medicine, all that kind of stuff. And she injects it into him. And then she's like, oh no. She goes to get the other one. She's like, wait a minute. I just injected 100 milligrams of the wrong chemical inside of you. And he's like, okay, well, how much is am I normally supposed to get of morphine? And she's like, 3. And he's like, okay, so I'm finna die. And she was like, yeah, unless we get a hospital. But he's like, yeah, nobody's coming out here in time because I'm gonna die in like 10 minutes and the ambulance won't be here for like 15 minutes. So I'm dead, dog. I'm like donezo, you know? And she's like, and she's freaking out and he's like super calm about it. And they put together this whole elaborate plan. They put together this whole elaborate plan to like basically it, which this is what I was talking about with the really like political stance. Essentially what he ends up doing is he ends up saying that he wants to make it a suicide. Wants to make it look like a suicide because her mom is an undocumented immigrant and he wants to protect her mother, her and her family from being like, you know, deported back. Which for a very, very rich, you know, very, very rich, like privileged, like blessed white man to do that is a gigantic thing. To like lay it, like his family, you know, is you know, it, like they're about to lose their father and he's about to, you know, just like he doesn't care at that moment about any of that. Because what he cares about in that moment is this one person who truly was, you know, more of a family to him in his last, like, you know, days than anybody else was. And we, you know, throughout the course of the movie, we find out that he was actually intending on cutting off all of his kids from the will. And when he dies, he was planning on giving it all to Marta, which is extremely crazy. Like, what? Like when I saw that, I was like, what? It was a very brave thing for Rian Johnson to put something like that in his movie. And that's one of the reasons I, you know, kind of commend him. You know, I want to say, you know, cool, dude. That was rad. That was a rad thing to do. A really unique thing to do in a movie as well. Not a lot of movies can say that they did something like that. And I dig it. I dig it. But anyways, you know, obviously everybody starts turning on Martha. Everybody's kind of like, you know, all they want now is like for her to do the right thing and say like, oh, no, I'm going to give the money to them because he dies, you know, obviously. And she gets the, you know, the thing. And, you know, the whole time. Oh, one of the cool things about Martha is that she can't lie. Like physically, she cannot lie because she throws up and they literally asked her like, oh, you know, one thing and she lied about it and then legitimately puked into like a bucket kind of thing. So that was one of the cool things is that she had to like work around that while trying to like still remain her innocence because they were all looking like the person that they were looking for was her. She was responsible for his death. Or so we thought. Stuff goes down. People turn on her and they're all just like, you know, like, hey, if you give us the money, you know, we have resources to, you know, help you and your mom out of this, like, you know, whole undocumented immigrant thing. We have the resources to afford like your lawyers and stuff. She was like, so you're saying that if I give you the money, that if you're saying that with your resources, you could help me. You can find the help that I need. And he was like, and they were like, yes, of course. And she goes, okay, well, your dad just gave me all of your resources. So I guess I'll just find it myself. Dude, Martha was a baller, bro. Martha was a baller. Crazy stuff happens. I feel like I'm not explaining this well at all, but crazy stuff happens. But you know what ends up happening at the end is, well, actually, you know what, I'm gonna save the big spoiler, because that's actually one. If you haven't seen the movie, do go watch it, because what I gave you was not a big spoiler, but it goes insane. The movie goes like way, it's so twisty. It's a donut within a donut is the way that they describe it in the movie. I really like this movie. Go check it out. But now I want to talk about another thing that Rian Johnson made, which was The Last Jedi. And the reason I'm talking about The Last Jedi is because Rian Johnson, let me tell you what happened. And I think I've talked about this before because I did one whole other thing on The Last Jedi. So Rian Johnson or J.J. Abrams, when he made episode 7, he had a whole layout. He had an entire idea of where he wanted, you know, the whole trilogy to go, a way that it would flow based on the characters that he just created and the story arcs that he just created. Rian Johnson literally said, nah, you look at the writing credits. Rian Johnson is the sole writer of the story. With the other ones, it's J.J. Abrams, it's all these other people. The only writers for The Last Jedi is Rian Johnson and then George Lucas, because he created the characters. So, sorry, I need to breathe. So, why am I talking about this now? It's because I watched the Rise of Skywalker and I loved it. I loved Rise of Skywalker. So, and I know that may be like, you know, like some people, you know, say they do or don't or anything like that. And if you don't like that movie, you're a moron. If you like Star Wars movies and you didn't like that movie, I don't understand you, man. Like if you liked The Last Jedi but didn't like this one, I don't understand you. I don't get what you're trying to get out of a Star Wars movie. But me, I've been watching Star Wars since I was youngin'. I've been watching Star Wars since I was a baby. And I love it. And maybe no. I'm trying to work my way through the Clone Wars like series. But here's the thing about it. No, I don't have to. Those are animated. These are movies. I'm watching the movies. If you make a show or a movie that's in the Star Wars universe and I have to watch another show to understand this one, nah, dog. Okay, I'm not going to pay for cable so I can watch some show on Cartoon Network. So rude. But anyways, what pisses me off is that you see in the Force or the Rise of Skywalker, you see in Rise of Skywalker everything that Rian Johnson did in The Last Jedi that like was basically throwing everything that the Force Awakens did in the trash. you see consistently, that's why this movie was so long. There were so many things that they had to explain or make, you know, do of. Like Snoke dying and why was he so powerful? We get an explanation for that in Rise of Skywalker that, you know, Palpatine made him. How Palpatine is alive, I have no clue. He blew up. I know that. You see, like, what's her face? Rose. Rose was written in there, right? And here's the thing about it, dude. Here's the thing about it, dog. Don't make a central character in the second movie. Because then something like this ends up happening. People are all like, oh, isn't it so sad that, you know, the Rose's actress, I forgot her name already. I'm so sorry. Marie Tran, something like that. Isn't it sad that, you know, like she, you know, imagine getting cast in Star Wars and then being, you know, like you're having your part like brought down to, you know, nothing just because of a bunch of racist, like misogynistic people. No, dude, most people didn't have a problem with Rose because she was Asian or because she was a woman. We had a problem with her because she was horribly written. She was terribly written. It was a lazy plot and a lazy character that made Rose so bad. Okay? It wasn't her acting. It wasn't her race. It wasn't her gender. It was her character. The only person that we have to blame for Rose getting, you know, like brought down is Rian Johnson for writing her so terribly. It could have worked. I'm not saying, you know, it can't work that you introduce new characters in the, you know, they were still introducing new characters in this movie, but here, notice the thing, the characters that they introduce in this movie aren't key people. You don't make Rose another key person. We've gotten those in the first movie. And you see that in this movie. You see that they had to bring Rose down to basically like a supporting character. J.J. Abrams introduced a lot of supporting characters, but they stayed that way. Rian Johnson, he could have re-edited the movie to where, like The Last Jedi didn't even have Leia in 90% of the movie. Well, maybe I wouldn't say like, you know, 50%, like 60% of the movie, Leia wasn't even in it. So what was the point? Carrie Fisher had passed. What was the point of not just giving her like a death that would, you know, further along the plot of Kylo Ren's character? What was the point? Brozif? Maybe you already wrote the movie, but there's a way to edit around it, Brozif. Push him towards the dark side. You know, now he lost his ma, Brozif. And now J.J. Abrams had to salvage that fact that she was still alive in this movie. And he did beautifully. I hate The Last Jedi so much more because I watched Rise of Skywalker. Because I see how beautifully it can be done. I see how flawlessly and how non-cheesily it can be done. And then not even just down to like writing, not even just down to like how the characters go, you know, on their journeys, how they act or anything like that. The characters, like, not even just any of that. Like, I'm not even just talking about like all that. J.J. Abrams showed us how a real Star Wars movie should look, even down to the film grain. You watch The Last Jedi and then you watch this movie, there is a significant difference in how they look and how they feel, how they're put together. So in conclusion, what I'm trying to say with all this is I have no idea what in the hell happened to Rian Johnson when he was directing The Last Jedi or writing it, because it was a nightmare compared to the beauty that J.J. Abrams had set up. J.J. Abrams has solidified himself in my book as the king. Like right now with that movie, I actually told my wife this, right now with that movie, what he ended up doing was just saying, he put his hand on Steven Spielberg's shoulder and said, hey man, it's okay. You can go now. You can go make a war movie again. Because J.J. Abrams is the king of science fiction. Nobody can do science fiction without him being a part of it. He's a king, bro. J.J. Abrams is the, he's like the God Jew. He's like, and like, that's a lowercase G, okay? Because I'm a Christian. That he's like a God Jew, like Greek God Jew. I don't even know if he's Jewish, but he probably is, dude. J.J. Abrams? I don't know. But all I know is he's the best, bro. He saved this trilogy. You know? The Last Jedi is, I would put it on par with, like, the prequels. I did not like The Last Jedi. And I hate it more now. But here, that all being said, we know. Now I watch this, and it makes me even more pissed off to The Last Jedi, because we know. We see what Rian Johnson can do. We see what he's capable of. But I think that Rian Johnson was incapable of, from the beginning, I think he was incapable of making a good Star Wars movie to start with, because he wanted to make his Star Wars movie. If they were going to have Rian Johnson make one, it would have to be his own trilogy. That way it didn't feel different. You know? That was the problem, is we felt the Force Awakens. We knew, we got this like setup of how this was gonna go, how this was gonna feel, how we were gonna do it. It was gonna be rad. And then he pooped on it. He beefed it. I can never forgive Rian Johnson for The Last Jedi, but at the same time, I might be able to. I might be able to, now that he made Knives Out. Knives Out is legitimately a great movie. One of my favorite movies of the past couple years. Like, definitely. I loved it. I loved everything about it. And I'm really, really proud to say that, you know, I'm really proud of Rian Johnson for, you know, growing up and learning how to make a movie. Oh my God, I'm so horrible. But yeah, this is the kind of stuff that he needs to stick to. This is the kind of stuff that he, you know, I heard that somebody was thinking of, like, talking about possibly giving him his own trilogy in the Star Wars series or in the Star Wars universe. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that we shouldn't do that. I think that he has a really good thing going for himself, making his own, like, standalone movies, because I don't think Rian Johnson can work well with other writers. I think he's like Quentin Tarantino, you know, he does it himself, dude. You know? Like he's got this baller like idea, and he knows how to follow it through. I don't think he works well with other people's ideas. And I think that that's why The Last Jedi like failed. I don't doubt at all that if they had given him the ability to write, if they had given them the ability to write The Force Awakens seven through nine, I think he would have done a great job. But I think that it was the fact that I think that what makes everybody so angry is that he didn't play well. He didn't play well with others. And that kind of, you know, left a sore taste in my mouth. Also, he looks like a baby. If you like this podcast, you can support. If you like this podcast, you can support it by subscribing on whatever app you use. You can share with your pals on your Facebook, your Twitters, your Snapchats, anything like that. Let's get more rippers ripping in this rippity rippities. Let's get more rippers dripping in the rip cave. The rip cave is what this is going to be known as now, because we rip it all. I'm going way too much on that rip thing. You can share, but you can also leave me a rate and review if your app allows you to do that. Some of them don't. You can leave me a rate and review. Give me 5 stars. If you give me 4 stars, I'll kill you. But give me 5 stars. Tell me that I'm beautiful. Tell me that my voice is awesome. But if there's something you want me to improve, let me know and give me 3 stars. Also, you can support the podcast by following me on Twitter at TicketRipperPod. On Twitter, you can tweet me any movies you want me to talk about. You can tweet me if you want to be a guest on the show. I really don't care. I'll have a dog on the show. I had my cat. I'll have my cat on the show, dude. I'll do anybody. I'll do. Whoa. I'll have anybody on the show. Be a guest. Tweet me. You won't. I'm poor, you know. You can support not only the podcast, but you can support me by cash apping me at Ben the Mobster. This is a really pathetic thing to do at the end of a podcast, but ask me if I care.
No, because when I'm eating chicken tendies, I'm not going to care about anything. I'm not going to care about anything. I'm a modern homeless man, okay? I don't own a home. I don't pay rent. I'm a modern homeless man, baby. I got a gaming laptop, or I got a gaming computer, but that doesn't mean I pay no rent. I run out of internet on a monthly basis, baby.
Wow, that was way too much information. Yeah, support this podcast. Support me. And I love you. But you can also, you can eat some moldy cheese, baby.